G'day everyone, it's John here from John's Retro, and I've got David Howes in the studio this afternoon. G'day and welcome to the show.
Thanks John, thanks for having me.
I was cleaning out my shed the other day and I came across an old box with all my old toys and things in a few cars and a few planes and various things. And in the boxes I found some of my old toys, and some of them were the Thunderbird toys. I couldn't believe how good a condition they were in. I must have stopped playing with them and my mother packed them away before I could totally wreck them. I've got Thunderbird 2 and Penelope.
Fab 1. Oh, yeah, don't you insult Thunderbirds to me, John. They're my heroes.
That's right. You've got all the videos.
I certainly have.
All behind the scenes stuff and how they were made. And
fantastic series.
As a kid, I just saw what was on TV and I just played with them and had my sort of imaginary play with things. But you took
I beg your pardon.
Don't take me out of context here.
Okay, John, I won't. He's just off mic for the minute. I'll talk. He's got to get himself together. Thunderbirds was a series in the, I think it was the
1960s.
Sure. And it was all Super Marionation with puppets.
That's right.
And things like that. And, you know, they were like International Rescue, and they'd go out on all these rescue missions, so it was really good. And they had all these amazing air machines, Thunderbird 1, which was like a scout vessel that went ahead. Thunderbird 2 carried all the rescue gear. Thunderbird 3 was a rocket to outer space. Thunderbird 4 went underwater. And in one of the movies, they wanted a Thunderbird 5, and it turned out to be a biplane.
Because
Brains, the engineer behind the outfit, he couldn't think of anything else they needed. So it was a biplane.
I thought Thunderbird 5 was this space station.
So Thunderbird 6, you are very right, John. Maybe I'm not so much of an expert.
Well, there's a couple of things.
Yeah, Thunderbird 5 was the space station. You're right. Thunderbird 6 was the biplane. Because Jeff Tracy, the guy that ran it all, he wanted Thunderbird 6 no matter what, and it turned out they didn't need it.
Oh, fair enough. You've got to fit into the storyline as to, you know, how it can be applied. Mm. The thing is, I like about Thunderbird 2 is that it's die-cast. It's actually made of metal. And
It works.
And it still works. I press the little buttons and the pod comes out. And the legs come down. And
I'm jealous.
I've still got Thunderbird 4, the little...
the underwater vessel. It's inside the pod inside. Yeah, it's great. And Fab 1, which was the Rolls-Royce that Lady Penelope, their secret agent, had.
I just remember
It's a machine gun in the front.
Well, it's got thing you could shoot out.
Yes. I think you're missing the bullet out of it.
Yes.
It had a front radiator grill that came down and shot out bullets.
Just remember that. Look, I haven't seen this, but probably about 50 years.
Yeah.
And it's still in quite good condition.
I tell you what I did like, John, when they did the Thunderbird series, they put a lot of behind the scenes things on it. I've got to remember to keep close to the mic here. I'm not doing too well for a podcasting guy, am I? But I'm just getting so taken away with these toys. They're magic. Anyway, the behind the scenes videos, you know, the things that they used to go through, like the model of Thunderbird 2, and we'll provide some pictures of these on the website. The model for Thunderbird 2 was about 6 feet long. Or 5 to 6 feet long.
Wow.
And they used to hover it over water tanks, drop the pods, you know, put it on the ground, jack it up, take the rescue vehicles out of it and all of that sort of thing. But one thing I remember most is Thunderbirds had Jerry Anderson, the guy that created it. I reckon he must have had a fetish for wheels.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Because everything had like a gazillion wheels on it.
That's right.
And also blowing things up. They had a special effects guy called Derek Meddings, and they'd give him his job to do at the beginning of the day. You know, this has got to blow up, that's got to blow up. And he'd go in the studio in the morning, and then in the afternoon when it was knock-off time, he'd come out and he'd be black as anything, covered in soot and cordite and gunpowder. He used to blow everything up.
The special effects were very simple in those days as compared to today, but... Yeah, they're still very effective.
Well, one special effect that I really like, remember Alan Tracy when they used to use the wristwatch, a video communicator wristwatch? Well, that thing was like 6 feet tall. They had a big model of it, and in the center of it was a TV screen where they used to put the picture of Alan talking. So it was about 6 feet tall. But what gets me is the technology. We got that stuff now, you know.
Taken another couple of generations, but we've got that.
We have. But look, I'd like to say to the people of our generation, we thought of it first. We just didn't have the technology to do it.
It just took a little while to catch up. One thing, talking about the wheels and things, I used to also play a lot with Lego.
Excuse me? You played a lot with what?
Lego.
Lego?
No, I call it Lego.
No, it's Lego.
Well, it does have
an go to Legoland, not to Legoland.
these plastic building blocks.
The ones that hurt your feet.
When you step on them. I used to replicate a lot of the stuff that I saw on Thunderbirds in Lego or Lego.
There you go.
And
John.
I think we'll just let that one go. Yes. And
ask the Danish. They invented it. It's Lego.
I'm glad this is going to be heavily edited.
No, it's not.
I used to make a lot of the Thunderbirds things that I saw on the TV and in Lego, and it used to have wheels everywhere, and it was just. And I used to love smashing them up as well.
You know what Lego taught me about stress points on things? How much something can take before it breaks? Like, you get a lot of people these days, and you see them building something, and you say, "Well, that's not going to work." You know, that's that you're building too much of a angle on the bridge or something
that
like
true.
That. Yeah, and it taught me. And I had Meccano as well.
Yes.
A lot of people say Meccano, but it's Meccano. I suppose you're a Meccano.
I'm a Meccano person.
Just like the Lego. Get it right. Look, I used to build cranes and bridges and buildings. And, of course, you know, being the sort of destructive child I was, then I'd put trucks and things on them and fill them up with rocks and stuff to see how much it'd take before it'd break, you know.
It was basic engineering, but it gave you the concept.
It did. And I think a lot of kids are missing that these days. Like, I had a friend who was fixing his car motor. Oh, no, it was his neighbour that was fixing the car motor. And he was doing up one of the cylinder head bolts with a wrench. And my friend said to him, "Don't do that any tighter, that's going to break." And he goes, "Oh, no, it's got to be tighter." Turned it, snap. And he goes, "How did you know that would happen?" And you sort of look at these people these days and go, "What, are you an idiot?"
The thing is, you had a feel for what the tolerances were and what can and can't happen.
Yeah.
And by this hands-on thing with Lego and Meccano,
Thank you, John. Yeah, Lego and Meccano is really good. Yeah, now we've swapped.
You get a hands-on feel where doing everything on the computers, you just don't feel what can and can't be done.
That's right, yeah. A touch screen isn't the same as seeing something bend under the Tonka truck.
Because I used to build the planes and stuff for which I saw on Thunderbirds, and yes, you'd fly them around and then they would just break apart on you. The wings would fall off, it would break the fuselage or something. It's like, oh, and you'd start to
I'd do that with Lego. I'd you know how they have those road signs today? They're anchored in one side of the road and then they bend up and over and there's nothing supporting the other side.
Yes.
And you say, well, look, that's not going to work. And they engineer them right, like they can take, 200-kilometre-an-hour winds. But you watch them over time. No matter what size block of concrete they put under them to hold them, eventually they tip over. And you're going down the road and you're looking, oh, that sign's sagging to one side. And you go, it's not got any support the other side and you've got a 5-tonne sign on it, you know. It's not going to work. And we learnt that from Lego and Meccano.
It's good having these toys around that you can actually feel for them. And, I'll have to go through my shed and find out what else I can bring.
Yeah, well, it'd be really interesting on your show, John, to see the retro stuff from that era. Like, as I said, this Fab One, the Rolls-Royce from Thunderbirds, it's really good in how they tried to integrate, things in it so it actually worked like the real car, like the roof slides back, the cannon is behind the radiator.
I'm not sure if anything shot out the back of it.
No, it doesn't look like it. It's
pretend.
Pretend. And then Thunderbird 2, which was my favourite one because it carried all the gizmos around. So you could virtually put your house and kitchen in it.
Yes.
And just, we could just go, oh, we're going up the Flinders this weekend and drop the pod and we'll be right.
It's your own mobile container wagon.
It is.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your help there, David. I've learnt so much more about Thunderbirds that I wasn't previously aware of, and well done.
If anyone wants to get the DVD set and learn more, I'm sure you can buy it online.
Thank you very much. We'll catch you next week. Bye.